Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Everybody, welcome in tonight. We are Four Guys Stories and Lies. We lose Bruce tonight. Bruce is in Hot Springs, Arkansas, doing what one does in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And we certainly hope he's having a wonderful time, which he'll probably tell us about it in 10 words or less when he gets back. That being Bruce's style.
I must have missed something. We get right. Vacations?
What is we?
We
wait a minute, Tom and Don and I.
Yeah, who is this we that you're talking about?
I like to know because, Don and I need one because we hadn't missed a show in a year. So everybody has missed shows.
Can we give them a round of applause?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect attendance here.
Yeah, perfect attendance for Don and I.
We'll have your certificate ready for you after the dance review.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah, it has to be because nobody out there is laughing.
Yeah, you're right.
Turn me up, please, Clint. I insist on being able to hear myself. Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. What do we have for you tonight? Nothing.
Well, that's a good way to start.
And everything. Have you all seen the movie Kingdom of Heaven?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember at the
great
end
movie.
Where Balaam, the crusader, is meeting with Saladin?
Yep.
And they're discussing the terms for Jerusalem,
right?
For the Christians to hand over Jerusalem to the Muslims. And he asked Saladin, said, "What is Jerusalem worth?" And Saladin says, "Nothing." And then he says, "Everything."
Yeah.
That's what we've got for you tonight. We've got nothing and everything.
Man, that's a hell of a way to get to that.
Thank you.
Goodness gracious. Were you watching the Kingdom of Heaven today on DVD?
No, but that it is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, mine too. I have it on DVD.
People still have DVDs?
I was lost. I mean, it's one thing we never know where we're going. I didn't know where
VCR.
He was going with that.
My phone had a black screen this morning, so I go to AT&T, and the screen is out. Well, you bought it in 2012. That beats the hell out of Bobby over there, who last bought his in 1995.
Bobby, do you have a screen on your phone?
Hey, somebody said that is worth some money. Is that true?
It's a flip phone, man.
No, Harold told me those things are worth money.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I'm going to tell Bobby so he can go sell his.
Beam me up, Scotty.
No, so anyway, the guy says, I said, well, look, I guess I'll need a new phone, but look, I want all my information. He says, we'll have to get it from your phone. I said, my phone won't work. I don't have a screen. He says, well, we'll have to get it from there unless you put it on the cloud. And he looks at me and go like, say that again. Now, at our age.
Here it comes. This is the latest Kitty story. Miss Kitty.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell the cloud is. What is that, aliens up
there
or something?
See?
I was up there, the cloud, dude, look at my hair, man. I'm 66 years old. You think I know what the hell? I put it on a cloud. So I said, so what you're telling me is I need to go get this fixed at one of those stores and pay $100 to get it fixed so I can come back here and buy a $600 phone for you to take it off the cloud.
That works.
And he said, yes. And I said, well, I tell you what. I may look dumb, but if I go get this fixed, I ain't coming back to buy no $600 phone. And I went and I told the guy that. I said, he told me to get it fixed and then bring it back to them. I could buy me a new phone and they could take my information. He said, why would you buy a new phone? You just got it fixed for $65. I said, well, great. I mean,
now, do yourself a favor and learn what the cloud is and put all your stuff on the cloud. Just open it. There's a setting that says utilize the cloud. All the cloud is a massive storage space. Everything on your phone goes and it's saved on the cloud.
So government got everything.
Yeah, that's where the NSA can go.
Yeah, that's
when
the NSA gets you. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so y'all want me to do that.
Mm-hmm. See, you got anything on your phone that's that?
Get one of these?
Get one like
Bobby.
No, seriously, Bobby. He says that thing's worth some money.
Oh, come on.
That's what I told him. I said, Google it, man. Let's find out. Clint, old flip phones, Google that and see if they're worth money. He said that those old little flip phones that Bobby has from the 90s or the 80s or whatever that came out.
Well, like that. When were cell phones?
You mean the old, like the old brick?
Look.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the old the brick phone, like Zach Morris had on Saved by the Bell. I thought you were talking about one of those.
No,
like
the Star Trek kind, where you just flip the screen.
Okay, I got you now.
Yeah, you just flipped.
You remember the first mobile phone?
Well,
I had one.
Yeah, big old.
We had a big old black bag, and you carried it around. You plugged it into your cigarette lighter, and
Okay, all you people listening who didn't know what I was talking about when I said this show is about nothing and everything, this is the nothing portion of what's going on right now.
Well, we haven't got any UFOs yet.
But. There's about like apparently there's online there's seven specific cell phones that are considered collector's items, and worth some serious cash.
Like, what is serious?
Like, I'm kind of looking at it right now. Like, some of these are, I mean, like, for instance, the Nokia 8110, which was featured in a lot of different movies, including The Matrix, is worth about $500 brand new and $200 for decent condition, which is probably
worth about what phones are
that's
now.
Not big money. No. I thought you were going to tell me $1 million.
No,
the cheapest phone at AT&T this morning was going to be $400. And that was with a discount because it normally sold for $5.99. That's the cheapest phone he showed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a cheap phone.
And most of them were pushing $700.
I said, dude, all I want to do is call people, receive people, send emails, receive email. That's it. That's all I want. Give me one like that for $50.
Welcome to Five Guys Stories and Lies, where sports at some point will raise its ugly head.
Yeah.
But not right now. What,
no, I want to go. Yeah, I want to go home and watch World Series.
Get one of these, Glenn.
Bobby, they don't make those no more.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
They make phones.
But you have to axe for them.
Axe?
just go in there wielding an axe.
Axe for them,
he taught Nopalooses, man.
The school teacher wants you to axe for them.
Axe them, man.
Got to axe them.
Why don't you axe them that, man?
No, really, they still make these, but you have to seek them out.
Well, you would see.
They don't readily display them.
Okay. Hey, I got a question. Who y'all picking in the World Series tonight?
Vanderbilt.
Michigan.
Vanderbilt.
Michigan. Okay, break the tie.
2-2.
No.
You don't need to break
anything. We got a tiebreaker.
I was going Michigan anyways.
There you go. And what?
I was going Michigan anyways.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Anyways?
Yeah, because I talked about it during Ben's show. So, yeah, I wasn't flip-flopping here.
This is not a axe him anyways.
This is not a grammatical show, is it?
No.
We don't want it.
Is this a sports show?
That's
a $1 million question.
There's not one intellectual listening to this show besides Don's friends. That's it. That's about two or three.
I don't have any friends.
This is true.
I'm about to say this is the lies part of Five Guys Stories and Lies.
He's telling the truth.
I don't.
I'm right there with him, so I can't say anything.
All right, I didn't introduce us for good reason. We're going to stick anonymous tonight. Phone number, though, is 706-0111, although what we've gone over, I cannot imagine you would have a question about. But in case you do,
if you want to bring
about
up a subject,
flip phones, or, feel free. Yeah. You can even bring up a subject about sports if you like. Tony Robichaux is at Lafayette General.
Yeah.
Tony suffered a heart attack this weekend, had open heart surgery. Apparently things are going well, as well as it can be in this situation. But he is still in ICU. And as Glenn, I think, talked to his brother today, and the suggestion is that while you may want to reach out to Tony or the family right now, today or tomorrow might not be the best time. He's going to be there for a little
while. Yeah, I think when anybody's in ICU that you should leave that just the family. You know, everybody and their brother has good intentions, but I think at times like that, you just, leave it to family, and, there's plenty of time later to.
You can only go in two at a time, and then they don't give you a long time when you go in, so.
Yeah, because I've seen that situation, and I remember somebody said, oh, well, you can go in ICU, and I was up there like, nah. And when we left there, I told my wife, I said, if I'm ever in ICU, I don't want.
Wait until he gets into a room.
Yes.
It's that simple.
And hopefully that'll be very soon. Yeah. And, we wish him and the family all the best and our prayers with all of them. And it's a trying time, but Tony's a strong man, and he'll be back, and he'll be on the baseball field again next year.
Yeah, we're all thinking about you,
if
Coach.
If he wants to be.
Yeah.
And that's my thought. You know, my thought is whatever decision he reaches after this, it's the right decision.
Well,
but we don't know what that decision's going to be.
Well, I think it's a safe assumption that he'll be on the field. I mean, he lives for baseball, and his brother lives for baseball, and there's a lot of people, you know. That's what they do, you know.
I would hope so, too, but again, I say whatever decision he makes is going to be the right
one. No, it's no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in the world. So our prayers to him and Colleen and Justin and Austin and their daughter. I forgot what the daughter's name. But anyway, yeah, the family in general. And Mr. Ray, his dad, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet on the planet. Just a great guy. So, but yeah, he's recovering. He's recovering. He should, you know, bounce back.
Do you people actually plan on watching this College World Series finale? Do you have any interest in it?
Hell yeah. That's a good. Did you watch the first or second one? I mean, they were both great games, right, Clint? Did you get to see them?
Pitching performance last night was unbelievable, man.
Well, look, the guy who started for Michigan is
Tommy
a reliever.
Henry? Oh,
no, that was the night before. I loved that guy.
I thought you were going back to game one. Okay.
No, yesterday they started a reliever because they knew who they were up against. And it's like, well, why waste, you know, my second best pitcher, I might lose.
And he threw six pitchers last night.
Yeah, yeah. No, man, I like Michigan. They got grit, man. And they got the old grandfather sitting in the stand. Did y'all see that? The grandfather from that championship team in, what, 62 or whatever it was?
Yeah, 62. He threw like 300 pitches.
340-something pitches in one day.
Yeah.
He started the first game, won it, told the coach, he said, I can be available for the second game. So the coach said, here's a ball, go out.
Yeah, this was well before people knew about
pitch counts.
No, not just pitch counts, but I say like in general, you just think about like Tommy John wasn't necessarily a word that was thrown around back in 1962.
It's two words.
Two words. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he's gonna correct you.
Oh,
everything.
Goodness gracious! We're gonna have like a grammatical lesson from Don Allen.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get corrected on anything you say tonight.
Might as well get the blackboard out. That's
two for you. All right. That's two already.
Two for me.
Yeah, one for.
Clint, they don't use blackboards anymore.
That's three.
I'm out.
No, Clint, back then they did. You were right. You were wrong, Bobby. Then they did. Yeah, Charles.
Oh, yeah, way back in the day.
What?
Back in the day.
When did Tommy John surgery first rear its head?
I don't know, but I bet you Clint finds out real quick.
When Tommy John got his arm
surgery. It'll be right next
surgeon.
To that Vada Blue answer.
Look, man, that cat had.
Yeah, the first procedure was done in 1974, of course, on Tommy John.
It's been that long.
45 years.
And Dr. Andrews now is the expert on it.
Yep.
And what's he, about 90?
No, he's not 90.
He's old.
Yeah.
He's been doing that surgery for at least 30, 40 years.
St. Louis Cardinals.
76.
The reliever. What's the kid's
name? He's
76. Is it Cole? Kid who could throw up to 405 miles an hour, he's got to have Tommy John surgery. He's going to be out for 12 or 13 months. So the Cardinals lose a big, big piece of that bullpen, their closer.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, but it gets to be so common. And, you know, while it may cost him a year, you know, as Tommy John surgery has shown, often they can come back better than ever. Although, I don't know if you can get better than 105 mile an hour fastball.
I don't think you can unless you got a bionic arm.
You know what they were doing in the pony tournament that I was at last weekend? This is 12 and under.
Wait.
They can only go 25 pitches.
Yeah. They start.
If they go over 19, they can't pitch again that day. And if they go over 25, they can't pitch the rest of the tournament.
Anybody have a problem with that?
No, I was just saying, you know, when we're talking about limiting pitches.
That's ultra-conservative because, you know, like, in you.
That is. That's really.
And you trip, it's a Saturday and Sunday tournament, and you trip, let's say, you can pitch up to 35 on a Saturday, and you come back on Sunday and pitch 65, I believe.
Since we're on the subject of, safety, did you read the story about the young girl, the two-year-old? That had been hit by the ball in a Houston Astros Chicago Cub game. And it was very, very serious for all this happened
what, month and a half?
Yeah, I remember the incident.
It's been a while.
They came out and released some information, and there were a couple of she had a seizure. Another, obviously, she had some sort of bad cranial injury, which has prompted Major League Baseball again to raise the question of extending the netting down to the foul poles. And there are four or five teams that are very serious and say they're going to do that. The Washington Nationals have said they're going to do it during the All-Star break.
So the Dodgers are going to do it as well.
Yeah, the Dodgers said Monday.
Yeah,
Monday that they were going to do it.
And in the meantime, the commissioner, what's this guy's name? Goodwin?
Rob Manfred, gentlemen, the MLB
Manfred,
commissioner.
Yeah,
that was close.
Said, yeah,
you're seeing Goodell
close.
Probably.
That's one on him.
He's probably thinking Roger Goodell.
Has come out and has said that, no one expects any teams to do it this year, but conversations will continue. You think conversations will continue? Thank you for that.
Just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just do it. You hear the music in the background. First break of the night, Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Tom Brown, Glenn Quibito, Bobby Ardwin. I'm Don Allen. Bruce Brown, again, is not with us this evening. Clint is our wizard behind the curtain, and we'll be back with more after this.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We're talking about the Little League Baseball and the like, and the fact that, who was it? Glenn said they were having trouble finding
umpires. Yeah.
All right, this is not quite the same thing, but close. Some guy in Iowa, he was like wearing a baseball hat, turned around on his head, you know, one of these kind of guys. Broke a softball umpire's wrist in three places when he shoved him to the dirt after he got through with a profanity-laced tirade over a foul ball that the umpire had called. The guy's name is Lance Ulrich. He is facing a charge of assault. He knocked the umpire down, said, "What are you going to do now, old man?"
Wow.
The umpire had thrown him out of the game for protesting a foul ball call.
Probably took a double away from his son.
Yeah, down the line, didn't hit the white.
No, these guys were playing. These guys were playing. At least four umpires with the Greater Des Moines Umpire Association have been assaulted over the last 5 years.
And was that a softball game?
Yes, it has led to a shortage of umpires.
I can believe that.
I can definitely believe that.
Yeah. You know, the good thing is, like, I go to a lot of USSSA tournaments with my grandson. They have security there every time. I mean, they have at least two security guards. So that's so that prevents that kind of stuff, you know. But foul ball, like Tom, must have been a double down the line. You know, there's no such thing, Bobby, like the old days. There's no chalk lines anymore.
Yeah.
They're painted lines. So you don't see the chalk fly up in the air when the ball hits on the chalk down the first base, third base line.
I think in this case it was more likely it was a ground ball down the third base
line. Down the third base line?
Yeah, that the umpire who had the call behind home plate made. You know, and this clown went, you know, jerk city on him. You know, he's going to be arrested and banned forever. And he needs to be.
It goes back a long way. I remember my first year out of high school, going back, and a friend of mine was playing in a softball league, and they were going to be a little short one weekend, and he asked me if I wanted to come play. So I went and played, and like every innings, these guys were arguing with each other over an error that had been made or a pop-up that a guy had hit and talking about, you know, we're going to take him off the team. We don't need him anymore. He's no good, you know, and this, that, and the other. And it's like, I told him, I said, don't call me again. This is not what I don't want to be involved in this. I just want to come out and play some
this
softball.
This is not fun.
And have
right.
and have a little fun, you know.
No,
it's
baseball is the toughest sport as far as for that kind of stuff. Fights and disagreements and arguments between people. Baseball's the worst. I mean, it's the worst if it's not the parents getting on other parents or getting on kids or getting on the umpires. I mean, it's a horrible sport when you look at it in those terms.
That's because in baseball you're expected to man up and you're expected to throw down.
No, it's because in baseball everybody thinks they're an expert. So, everybody thinks they know everything. Everybody thinks they know a ball and a track. I sit right behind home plate.
There are sports announcers that
I'm a typical old grandfather. I sit right behind home plate. I watch him call balls and strikes. And in between innings, most of them will come and we'll talk and stuff like that. But he'll call balls that are balls, and the stands will go nuts. Now, you know, because they can see better from 80
feet away. Go to a UL baseball game. You get that all the time. Same thing at LSU.
I know. So it's
anywhere they do that.
Absolutely. So it's tough to be an umpire because everybody knows better than you. It doesn't matter what you call. Now, some umpires are playing bad. They can't. I mean, they give too much. You know, I've seen them give 6 inches on the outside. You can't give 6 inches.
Do you yell at them? Do you yell at them, Glenn?
No, not
anymore. Oh, come on, Glenn. No,
I don't.
Come on, Glenn.
I don't. Man, I'm past that.
You ain't never been kicked out of a game?
Nope. Nope.
Really?
I've thrown a cap. I've pitched a fit. Never did kick dirt on the plate like Bobby Bodan did in the American Legion game one time. Umpire got on the head coach. New Iberia was playing Mr. Cook at the Teague. Got on the head coach, went down the third baseline, was in the head coach's face from New Iberia. And while he was, the first base coach, Bobby Bodan, he used to be the mayor of New Iberia, he comes down the line, goes to home plate, and while he's got his back to him, he does a Billy Martin. He starts kicking dirt on the plate, and he covers the whole plate with dirt. And so when it was over, he heads back. The umpire turns around, comes back to home plate. He's looking around, and he reaches in his pocket to pull out his brush to brush off the plate. And when he looks down, he sees a pyramid on the plate. Dude, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. I mean, that right arm went up in the air. He looked straight at Bobby. You out of here, man. And then both the dugouts, it was something. It was funny. But, you know, umpires have a tough job. I wouldn't do it. I did it one time. And a guy accused me of cheating because it started raining and his pitcher kept throwing pitch after pitch outside. And I thought it was me. So I'm leaning down and I'm asking the catcher, son, please, if I'm missing these, please tell me. He tells me, oh, no, sir, that's a ball. That's a ball. So the team gets back in the game with all these walks. And this coach is just steadily on me. And after the game, he comes up to me and says, my catcher said he was all strikes. I said, I asked him if it was the old man of the eyes was wrong. And he said, no, sir, they were all off the plate, which I thought they were. Yeah, but you said you'd open the zone. I said, I can't open it halfway into the box. Yeah. You know? So, no, umpire's got a tough call, man. Got a tough call.
It's a great job. Somebody's got to do it.
$35 a game, yeah, then they need to raise their prices.
Leads into another story, and I know this was probably before some of your time, but there was a big brawl in the 90s between UL and South Alabama, and it started actually at Alex Box in Baton Rouge in a regional, and then continued to Lafayette, and one of the people most involved with it was South Al pitcher John Lieber. Uh-huh. Who went on to pitch for the Cubs, you know, was a star for the Cubs. And anyway, I'd done a blog on it and presented, I guess, UL's side of things through Ken Myers, who was the catcher at that point for the Cajuns. And Lieber got in touch with me and said, I really enjoyed it, but I'd really like to tell my side of it. So in July, what we're going to have, and I'll find the proper date and let everybody know, we're going to have Lieber and Myers both on the show. And you're going to be taken back about
80 years.
25 years. No, not quite 80 years.
But we'll have them on the phones from their different locations so we don't have another free-for-all.
No, we'll have Myers in here. Lieber will be on the phone. I don't know where he lives, but it's not here. Anyway, that's to come. Hear the music in the background. It's Five Guys, Stories and Lies. When we come back, I've got a special story for all of you.
Can't wait.
I know.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Okay, the grammar police are still out. Glenn, did you listen to that promo by Billy Nungesser?
I've heard it enough times to where I know most all of it, yeah. So.
Plan your next great escape. He's a lieutenant governor.
He's from the bayou. Bayou. You're not going to get me, bayou.
We've already got you once tonight.
Well, at least he's not talking about nuclear war.
Nuclear war?
Yeah. Who? Bush used to say that all the time, nuclear. Instead of nuclear,
yeah.
Nuclear. He used to say
if, you know what? You know what? If you're listening that close, you got a problem.
How can you not hear that?
Yes.
They don't even sound alike.
Why would you even have a problem with
it
that?
It doesn't bother me. I'm just saying.
Well, Mosh, you just brought it up.
He just stated the facts.
Jeez. Oh,
strategery.
It didn't bother Bush. He laughed about it.
Yeah. I never heard that strategery. Word. I remember that one.
Will Ferrell as about George Bush on SNL. He's like, during the debate, like around the debate time, he was just like, what's your final word? Guys, like, strategery was like the thing that he said.
I remember that.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a high school fight.
What you mean? In a sport?
Yeah.
Sporting event?
I don't think I have.
Oh, I've seen some.
I saw one at Northside come out of the stands and just waylaid a guy and ran out the gym. And it was fun. I was sitting at the top, so it was fun. He just ran right past everybody after he slugged the guy. Ran right out the door. I was out there, look at this.
No,
yeah.
I've seen girls' teams fighting one another, and it was very entertaining, I must say.
No, that happens more often than people think.
What sport was that?
Basketball.
Girls basketball, Beauchene and West St. Mary. I had no intention of going to the girls' game, but I wanted to get to the boys' game early so I could get all of their stats and stuff, and so I got there mid-third quarter. Everything was quiet. I don't know what precipitated it, what caused it, but all of a sudden, I mean, there were four girls, each team, out on the court throwing, and, you know.
I take that back.
The referees did an excellent job, by the way, of getting both teams off the court, fans off the court, bringing the teams to the locker room, and one of the coaches from Beauchene told me, he said, well, I can't say exactly what he said, but he said, I bet you're enjoying this blank. And I said, I sure am. He was very upset that I was there and scared I was going to write about it. It was like, well, what? I'm not supposed to write about what I just saw?
Well, West St. Mary went through a period of time there for a couple of years where they were in a bunch of them, you know, and football too, you know. I remember when I was officiating, I never had one of those games, but I remember guys would talk about it all the time. They went through a period of time where they had some kids suspended, I think, or whatever, and even a game suspended because one team refused to go and play them because they had two or three fights already, you know, in the season. So. But I think they've straightened that up now. You know, I hadn't heard anything about it in a while.
Yeah, I take back. I was sadly mistaken earlier. I've seen UL and South Al fight, obviously.
Yeah, the baseball.
I got on the tail end of the UL McNeese game when they had that big fight I think Tony was playing for McNeese at that point.
Oh, okay, baseball.
Yeah,
okay.
Baseball. And I've seen a couple of ice skaters brawls that are just iconic.
Yeah, but that doesn't count as fights. That doesn't count as fights.
Yeah.
When the goalies from both teams get out on the ice and fight, yes, it is.
It's a fight.
It is iconic.
Oh, man.
I mean, one of those fights has just been on, like, those, like, Mike, what was it, Mike Golick had, like, a like variety show almost on, you see, on, like, CBS?
Yeah, but that's all stage. That's like pro wrestling on skates, man. Come on.
Hockey fights are stage.
Yeah.
This is the next great conspiracy theory from
Quib. They're not? Why they keep their equipment on then when they do it half the time?
Protection. They'll take way too long.
For protection.
Oh, you think they should take all their clothes off and then fight?
This is getting into a weird place, Quib.
No, you take off your helmet, man. Take it like a man. If you want to fight, fight. But, I mean, if you can keep your helmet on, go in wrestling or something. Man, y'all some good, cheap entertainment, man. That's not fights. Now, maybe
fight.
The NHL, but you talking about this stuff that they had over here that they call hockey, right?
It's coming back to the cage zone, man. WWE. It's coming back. Monday Night
Raw. We're talking hockey, not WWE.
I know. That's why I say this. Yeah. Hockey coming back?
About, he was talking about wrestling.
You drive me nuts.
But he was talking hockey in relation to wrestling. He's still on the hockey tangent about the ECHL, which honestly was a lot better than that other incarnation of the Ice Gators, because ECHL was a lot closer in relation to the NHL. You saw a lot of these guys kind of get some rehab starts going. You had a chance of at least seeing somebody with some actual talent, as opposed to what
Not a lot. It was more like.
But I'm saying compared to what you had the second go round.
Second go round doesn't even count.
Look, everybody.
ECHL was like slapshot.
Everybody in this room that never saw an ice skater game, I never saw the Game of Thrones, raise your hand. Oh, just me?
Yeah. You thought Miss. You didn't know Miss Kitty was a hooker. You don't know anything, Glenn. You don't know anything.
See, I mean, growing up down here, I don't think many people have been big hockey fans. When the ice skates first came, I thought it was great, man.
Blood and beer.
You know? No,
blood
it was
and beer. That's what it was. Blood and beer. Admit it, man. That's a Cajun's dream. Blood and beer.
It was fun and it was exciting. Because
and
it
was 10,000 a game.
That's right.
That's right. Because it was the thing, like we talked about before.
Absolutely.
It was a chic thing to be.
Absolutely.
They still hold, and I checked this out several weeks ago. They still hold the all-time ECHL attendance record for a franchise.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
You mean total attendance?
Mm-hmm. Over the 10 years that they were in Lafayette, there was at least one year, if not two, that
they led the minor leagues.
Yeah.
All the minor leagues in attendance.
But beer had a lot to do with that.
Beer did not hurt. But you know what? They're serving beer at UO games.
Well, I got news for
that
you.
That ain't helping.
Well, LSU just got permission to serve beer, and I guarantee it's going to help. What did they go down to? An average attendance last year, what, 74,000 from 90-something thousand?
For what? At LSU
football games. They went
No, the tickets are sold. They just don't show
up. They don't show up.
They don't show up for some of the non-SEC
beer, now
games.
Now they got a reason to show up. So,
I know that's beer at home.
Yeah, but
that's right. It's a lot cheaper, too.
No, Glenn, I think the thing that's hurting LSU is just about every game except.
On TV.
Yeah.
On TV. I mean,
it's hurting all of them. It's hurting all of them.
You can get any college game on any day.
Look.
Online.
Horse racing's about to die because of that. Like, I think you were saying it last week, weren't you? About off-track betting and online and television. You can catch it. Everything's on TV. So, yeah, you're right. Why get up and go and spend $5 to $6 for a bottle of beer when you can drink it at home?
I don't really care about that. I care about the hassle of where you've got to park, what you've got to go through to get to your seat, which may not be worth the damn to begin with, but that's the best you could get.
Somebody asked me, did I miss covering USL football, UL football? And I said, you know, I missed the game. But I don't miss getting there at 3 o'clock for a 6 o'clock start.
Yeah.
I don't miss getting there 3 hours early, you know, and then sometimes if I ran late, have to fight that traffic and fight the police telling me I can't park where I'm supposed to park.
Right.
And that
that you can't turn left out of Cajun Field when you lived left.
Yeah, I don't
you have to go right and go all the way to university when there's no cars on the street because it's an hour after the game. And everyone has already left and gone home, and I'm leaving the parking lot, and they're going, you can't turn left, you got to go this way. Yeah, I live that way, and there's nobody in the street. Y'all go home. Open the streets.
Look, I finally went back and covered a high school game last year for the Advocate, Acadiana and Zachary, I believe. So I'm leaving, and I want to make a right-hand turn in front of the school.
No, no.
The cop says, no, you got to go left. I got to go left. And go about a half mile, turn around in a lot, and come back and get in the line to go right. How about that? Like, what's the point?
We got him a George Faust on the line. Wants to get in on this action.
Traffic control.
Hey, the coach of the winning team this weekend in Young.
Hey, George, go get ready for your 10 o'clock. What are you doing here?
Man, I told you, every time I get in the car on a Wednesday, and I'm heading wherever I'm heading, I got this on, and I just can't get enough of it. It's great stuff.
Yeah,
y'all are talking about some golden stuff. How do you, Glenn? I'm glad you're. I was gonna ask. We won. Did y'all win?
Yeah, we won. Well, see that? Now you're talking to two.
Y'all some cheaters. Y'all probably got ineligible players.
Yeah.
Now, hey, let me tell you something. Rain's always got good baseball teams, and George happens to have one of the better ones. What, 12 years? 12 and under?
12-year-old, yeah. The Rain Rice Birds. We're 12 double A. Next year we'll be up to 13. But, yeah. I just heard y'all talk about the ice. And that was one of my favorite things to cover when I got here. I have some fond memories of that. I wish they had something. It was the only professional league in the city, so it gave you a little legitimacy. I felt you had something professional when it was with the ECHL. It was definitely a fun thing to cover.
George, you know very well the word professional did not always fit that franchise.
Right. Well, I'm a professional too, but I don't make as much as those guys that are on the networks either. So I understand the dichotomy there.
Well, you guys gave them a lot of coverage, huh? You guys covered them a lot. I mean, it seemed like they were on nightly.
Even before I got there, I'll never forget. Y'all might remember these guys, Mike Roebuck and Phil Aldridge. Those two guys. And I was going through old tapes probably about 3 months ago. We still have tapes in our archive system back there. And I was going through, and I watched Phil Aldridge's report from South Carolina when the Ice Skaters were playing in the ECHL finals.
South Carolina Stingrays.
Yeah. That's right, and Chuck Huebner was one of the biggest ice skater fans. I think I don't know if he did it for show or not, but he always was there. He had that big hat. That was one, and he told me because I wasn't here back then, but he said that South Carolina took out the ice skater's goalie, and they did it on purpose. I don't know if that was the case, but Chuck seemed to think it was. So
yeah, well, Chuck wouldn't lie, right?
No, Chuck doesn't lie. He's a journalist.
We talked about him a couple of shows ago.
You did not say journalist, did you? Did you really?
Hey, did you have a dress out with those guys?
Don, I love you, man.
Did you have a dress out with those guys? I mean, I know you guys do some wacky stuff.
Yeah, I never did. I actually did. I don't know how to skate, ice skate. So, or roller skate for that matter.
That'll solve the problem.
But Louis Dumont did actually let me get out on the ice a couple of times during practice, and that was interesting.
Walking with your regular shoes? No.
What's that?
You were walking with your regular shoes on that ice?
No. When I was just out there covering stuff, I'd just hang out and kind of hang where he was or where Coach Kaminsky was. I didn't ever get to skate with them or anything like that. I couldn't do that.
We were talking on the show a couple of weeks ago about Huebner, because I used to work in the scoreboard and all in the penalty booth, and he used to come in every game with his ice skater shirt on. He'd walk to his seat, which was front row, and start banging on the glass to get the players' attentions during the warm-ups. And I'm thinking, like, that's the guy that's on the news tonight, man. He's just banging on the glass, you know. But
right.
You found any of my tapes over there, man? We had video tape back then.
Were you on three-quarter or film?
We were on
16 millimeter.
We were on three-quarter cassettes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Cassettes.
Well, we don't have a three-quarter inch player anymore. We used to have one, but they got rid of it. So. If anybody sends a tape.
You're not missing anything. Yeah.
Hey, I heard during one of your baseball games that you kicked the water bottle about 30 yards because somebody made an out. Is that true?
Listen.
More like 25.
Let me tell you the God's honest truth. I don't get mad at the ball players. I really don't. What frustrates me is the inconsistency. Okay, so USSSA is making all of this money, right? I mean, they make $30,000 before anybody walks into the gate because every team has to pay $400, right? Okay,
yeah.
So we get in there, and the umpires don't know a strike from a hole in the head, and it's the most annoying thing, and they're never consistent. I will say, this past weekend, we actually did have some really good umpires. Which is hard to say.
They were from Baton Rouge.
Because it doesn't.
They were from Baton Rouge.
Is that what it was?
Well, the whole crew came from Baton Rouge area.
Yeah, when you start
getting... I did get frustrated. I almost got thrown out of a game this weekend, but it was so I was arguing balls and strikes with the umpire. They were the home plate umpire was given the outside corner of the plate, but he was only giving it to the other team, and so I yelled out. I said, "That's about the fifth time that we haven't got that call," and I didn't yell it at the umpire. I was talking to my assistant coach. I just said it. I said it really loud so the umpire could hear it. And he goes, "Coach, that's enough. That's about the fifth time you said that." I said, "Well, just call both ways. That's all I ask." And he goes, "Coach, I've had enough. Next time I'm going to reprimand you to the dugout." He wasn't going to throw me out.
Hey, did you enjoy the dance review last night, man?
I did, man. I did. Project Dance had their dance review. My daughter danced there. That is a sport, too.
It's just not
one that, right.
Not one that we cover.
Yeah, soon to be an Olympic sport, by the way. George, thank you for the call. We appreciate it, and have fun tonight.
I'm going to break.
Who's out of here?
Thank you, George.
Okay. Yeah, we need to take one. Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Back after this.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Get myself off the side of the road.
7060111.
Who did that?
As your number at the studios. As Five Guys Stories and Lies continues. All right, Clint. Cue it up. It's about that time. Have you guys noticed that, can't believe I'm saying this, breakdancing has been provisionally approved to become an Olympic sport for the 2024 Summer Games
in
Paris?
Are you kidding me?
I keep on dancing,
I'm serious. It's termed breaking in Olympic circles. It made its debut last October at the Buenos Aires Youth Summer Games. The IOC will make a final decision in December of 2020. So breakdancing will now join those other tent sports such as
ridiculous.
Curling and synchronized swimming.
Synchronized swimming is bad enough. Now you're going to have breakdancing?
Curling is exciting, man.
It can be. It can be.
I love curling.
But as a sport, it's like, too
sure. I stay up many a late night watching the curling. That stuff is good tube.
Here,
believe me.
I'd say something, but I'm
not. I got a shirt, man. USA Curling. I'll promote it, man.
You sick.
No, I'm not. I love curling.
You're sick.
Don, in that article that you're reading from, did they say why they want breakdancing as a
culture, man.
Olympic
culture.
Sport?
They find that attractive.
Break out the cardboard boxes, everybody.
You got to be athletic to do
it. They're also looking to add three other sports to the competition, including skateboarding, sport climbing.
I could see skateboarding.
I believe sport climbing would likely be rock climbing.
Yeah, that's something along those lines. And surfing.
I'm surprised surfing
you can
has
hang
already
10,
been part of it.
You can hang 10 soon enough. And win a medal for it.
What if the Olympics are held in
to be judged
in an
by the
inland,
Beach Boys
on an in an inland location where there is no surf?
Did they have extreme sports? Like, I don't know if y'all saw on Facebook where a guy come down on his bike,
yeah,
and goes up in the air. God, looks like he goes up 20 feet in the air and turns loose on the bike
and cuts a flip. Yeah,
yeah, and then lands on the bike and it. Man, I tell you what.
Yeah,
First of all,
if you watch some of the. What is it, half-pipe competition at the Winter Olympics? That is just incredible.
Yeah,
but this is with a bike, and, I mean, this is on dirt.
Yeah.
Now, what made you try that in the first place? Are you going to land? Is this fall for 40 feet?
All right, hold on. Is this BMX you're talking about, like actual bicycle?
He turned loose on a bicycle 40 feet in the air over dirt. And
this is that
straight
this
up.
Is that X Games stuff right there.
Yeah, he did a backflip. I think it was a backflip, and he let go of the bike in the backflip, and the bike flipped.
Yeah,
and he came back around and caught it and dragged it under him and landed on it. And it's
that's a dirty. Yeah.
That's a real stupid. Is
you only
stupid
need to
does.
Make one mistake on that, dude. And I don't know how you. I thought Evel Knievel was crazy. This cat here, whoever did that, he's playing nuts. I mean, there's no explaining that. If you've never seen it, when I see it again, I'm gonna send it to you. It's unbelievable.
No, I can't wait. Thank you.
Well,
have you ever seen Half Pipe? The Winter Olympics.
Yeah, that's something, man. Yeah.
I think that's a big reason why they're doing skateboarding now is because it's going to be in the same kind of vein.
Yeah,
it'd be in that. Mind you, it'd be a lot different. It'd be a lot like what they do in the X Games, where it's 2 minute runs, best two out of three, as opposed to kind of how a snowboard half pipe setup, where it's a lot longer, and basically once you reach the end of that quote unquote line, you're done.
This is millennial madness. That's what this is.
Yeah, but Winter Olympic ratings aren't bad enough. They got to add that kind of stuff.
They added that like early 2000s. Like they were ahead of the curve a little bit with Winter Olympics.
Yeah, but I'm talking about breakdancing.
Oh, breakdancing? Well, that's gonna be Summer Olympics if I'm not mistaken.
It's summer?
Yeah,
I was 2024, so. Right? Okay. Yeah, so it'd be his next year's going to be the Summer Olympics in Tokyo.
Tokyo is 2020. 2024 is Paris.
Yeah, I'm gonna set
2028 is Los Angeles.
I'm gonna set my clock for 4 a.m. to watch break dance and competition.
And most of us in this room won't be alive by then.
And I think softball's back in the Olympics this year, isn't it?
I think it might be on a provisionary basis, just like because that's what
break dancing is coming before softball.
Yeah, that makes a lot of freaking sense.
Well,
yeah.
That's our intellectual friends.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the other side of the room doing all of that. Yeah,
That's Don and his buddies sending that in, recommendations.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd like to see breakdancing. You know? Let's
schedule an. Let's subpoena for an interview for that.
Some of my students could.
Huh?
Some of my students could really break. I mean, really, they.
Well, you should have told them they should really study.
Yeah. And they'd be laughing just like you are.
They'd probably do better in life.
Are we done?
No, we're not done.
You got an extra, like, 10 minutes.
We've got the Astros and Pirates coming up at 7:10.
7:10.
Yeah, I know.
That's
still my day.
That ought to be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll be with you until then. This is Five Guys.
The Bucks.
Stories and Lies. And we'll be back.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
We've got about 10 minutes left for this evening's show.
We gave y'all a little preview of the Astros and the Pirates there.
Flint, who's winning the World Series?
I have not seen anything yet.
Have you seen the score?
No.
I'm sure it's Michigan, since Don is pulling for
Vanderbilt. They haven't started yet, have
nothing,
they?
Nothing.
Huh, it started at 6.
Didn't they did? I thought they didn't start until 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh.
I thought they were pretty much evenly matched, except last night when they pitched Rocker.
Rocker. But you know what? I thought he threw like 98. All the pitches I saw him.
96.
No, he was at 91, 92 all night.
No, it's his breaking ball that kills him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's.
I got to say this, and I know at least two people here are going to say, oh, you're crazy. I know that.
You think he's talking about us, Glenn?
I think he
I really
he underestimates because there's three of us in here.
It's actually tied 1-1 right now, middle of the third.
Oh, close, nothing, 1-1. I like the Vanderbilt black uniforms with the golden stripes. See,
man.
I told you.
Oh, man, that's some ugly uniforms.
I don't think so.
Oh, geez.
But that's their colors, black and gold.
Yeah, but that's ugly, those stripes.
I don't care.
those vertical stripes?
Yes.
Oh, you love them.
They're called pinstripes.
It's unique.
From the head to the toe, it's okay on your pants, but not all the way down.
Bobby, what do you think?
The Yankees are the only ones that can wear that.
Have you noticed?
They look like
just go ahead and speak
Al Capone's striped suits.
Yeah.
That's what
it's close. Except the pinstripes are a little slimmer than Capone's would have been.
The only thing that I like less is baseball players that wear those pants all the way to their shoes.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
You know, I
take the elastic out of it and they wear them like slacks.
Hey, you know what I told one of them? I said, wait, you work at one of the bakeries here in town? You bake bread? That's what it looked like. I mean, those kind of pants. It's like, man, you know, I know it's retro, but a lot of kids are going back to retro where they're having their pants.
I saw a 12-year-old team like that over the weekend. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Wear the pants down.
Yeah,
to the,
put some socks on and get some elastic in your pants and wear it like a baseball uniform.
Well, that's right. Do it my way or get off the field.
No,
right,
let me tell you.
Kind of good.
You know who's the smartest people in the world? The people who sell the colored leggings and the parents go buy the colored leggings and buy the pants that come all the way down to the shoe, and you can't see the leggings. And that's every team. I go, like, so what's the point of buying colored socks if you're going to wear your pants? And some of them put them over the back of their shoe. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
They put them over the back of the shoe.
The Yankees and Red Sox are playing in London Saturday and
Sunday.
Yes,
they are.
Both teams are all being allowed to wear their home white uniforms. And it brought up something else in October. Is it October? September, October? Are they still playing regular season in October?
Yeah, it's the World Series in October.
No, the World Series is in November. I believe it's like...
It's playoffs.
Yeah, game 163 or whatever.
Maybe September.
Yeah.
When the Yankees go out to Los Angeles to play three games. Los Angeles, the Dodgers were given the choice, do you want to wear white uniforms or black uniforms?
Yes.
They chose white, which means the Yankees are going to be decked out in black because Major League has decreed it.
Why would the Dodgers wear a black uniform?
Why would the Yankees wear a black uniform? They don't have any choice.
Well, why can't you wear...
Why can't they wear a gray one?
A blue one.
Well, like, here's the deal. This ain't football. I ain't going to tackle you and I'll get confused with the colors. But you batting, he's catching.
But the old days, it was white and gray. Why can't they wear the gray pinstripe?
They've never worn gray pinstripe.
Gray solid uniforms.
Yeah, the gray solid uniforms with the New York across the...
Right.
No. It's going to be black. They're going to wear black uniforms.
Well, that's stupid.
Because the Major League has decreed it.
That's just stupid.
I agree with you.
Oh, Yankee uniforms are the best, man. I mean, with the pinstripes. I agree with you there. Those are the best uniforms ever. Most iconic, let's say that.
And they've never put the name of the player on the back and still
have. That's true. That's right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
You don't notice it. You don't notice it until, you know, somebody mentions you pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in cases like today and stuff, you know, when Judd comes up to bat, you don't need to see his name.
No.
I mean, the Giants up to bat.
Did you see where Giancarlo Stanton hit the IL again?
Uh-uh.
It was a contusion on his right knee from sliding into third base. A belly slide that looked more like a belly flop.
Oh, what a wimp, huh?
He has been so injury-prone.
My knee. I bruised my knee. You know, I'm going on
it's
IL.
More than a bruise.
Clint, who's the guy who hit a 500-foot home run?
Vida Blue? I don't know.
No. No, I thought somebody, they were talking about this
they
weekend.
They did, 505 something.
505 is what I heard, yeah. Yeah.
They hit it out the park and over the street.
That's unbelievable, dude. 505.
No, actually, the ball landed in the park. I know what you're saying, because you think it might have been, but no. It landed, I don't know, second deck or something
like
that.
You realize that's a football in two-thirds? A football field in two-thirds?
Oh, you talking about Nomar Mazara?
Nomar hit it, yeah. 505, is that right?
Yeah, 505. This actually broke his record, I believe, at Globe Life.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, tied for the longest home run ever tracked by StatCast. And Trevor Story's was the last one at 505 back in September 5th at Coors.
That's unbelievable.
The Coors is like cheating.
Well, yeah, thin air. Yeah. Yeah, but still, I don't care.
I mean, 500 feet is 500 feet.
Still got to hit it.
And then Stanton came out, and I watched this was a couple of days right before he went on the NIL. He got like an off-speed pitch, and he was a little off balance. And 445 feet later, it came down.
Yeah, but just to put this in perspective, you do realize where this studio is located. That's like hitting a ball from here to Prejean's across the interstate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's like. So anybody knows where this studio is located, think about hitting a ball from here to Prejean's. That's about what it is.
Did you measure that?
I'm just in my mind, Tom.
We're all just in our mind, Tom.
The show's all in your mind.
Wasn't it?
Thank you, Clint. Because you're a big part tonight. You got three strikes on you.
Wasn't it?
I was already out.
Oh, okay.
After the first segment.
Okay.
Wasn't it?
What?
Wasn't it Mantle that hit a home run over the roof of Yankee Stadium?
No one has ever hit one over the roof. Mantle has come close.
Okay.
Mantle hit it on the facade.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
But no one has ever hit it over the roof at Yankee Stadium.
At the old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
At the old Yankee Stadium.
He hit one off knuckleball of Chuck Stobbs. It was like 565 feet or something like that. And that was back in the day when, you know, the ball wasn't what it is now. I don't think the bats are what they were now.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Do you ever, and I have, because you don't get the opportunity, watch some of the old film of Mantle swinging a bat. He swung harder than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger Maris, when he hit his 61, Maris was trying to hit home runs. Mantle was trying to hit it out of the stadium.
I just wish I still had his rookie card.
That was a special time, man.
You wouldn't be here if you did.
Yeah, if I did. Yeah.
I've got it.
Special time.
Well, you got his rookie card?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
What's it worth?
$3,000, something like that.
It's in your safety deposit box.
No.
Yes.
No,
Bob, I was trying to help you out.
It's in a cigar box.
He's got it in one of his pockets of his $4 suit that he got from Goodwill. That's our music in the background. We're done. Astros and Pirates are next. We'll be back here next Wednesday at 6, and I'm trying to remember if it's a 1 or 2 hour show.
It's a 1 hour. It's the same thing as this week, 7:10.
Are they still playing the Pirates?
No, they're going to be playing the Colorado Rockies, I believe.
Oh, be still my beating heart.
A two-game series.
The 12-game series begins tonight.
We're
going to
end it on sarcasm. All right. That's the way.
No, honestly, that's an accurate statement.
No, I'm not saying you, him.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday on Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's a girl, my